Coming up next on the Podwheels Network, you'll hear the second edition of the Insight 2020 podcast series. Insight 2020 is being presented by Expediter Services, and Stoops Freightliner is serving as our title sponsor. In this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast, we'll be talking with Leah Shaver, the president and CEO of the National Transportation Institute. Leah is one of the trucking industry's leading experts on compensation for professional drivers and owner-operators. We'll be discussing a number of topics with Leah, including the impact of COVID-19 on the trucking market. Here's a preview.
There's speculation coming from every direction and going in every direction related to what the future is going to look like and what conditions look like today. Fleets and how they're responding. Some fleets have leased different equipment and shifted to hauling other commodities. Some have accepted reduced rates and reduced demand. Some have had to reduce their assets in response and tighten their spending, their expenses, their personnel costs, their initiatives, had to completely scrap all plans for 2020. Some fleets were swamped during panic buying. And now that states are opening up, are still busy, and in fact, they may even be overcommitted. So we've seen responses all over the board.
Welcome back to the Insight 2020 podcast series, and thanks for connecting with us again here on the Podwheels Network. Presented by Expediter Services, the Insight 2020 podcast series is pleased to have Stoops Freightliner as our title sponsor. Through the Insight 2020 podcast series, we're placing a spotlight on key issues and opportunities within the trucking industry, while also highlighting members of the ES community. Founded in 2006, ES has become a leader in providing capacity solutions and ownership opportunities within the trucking industry. As you heard in the opening, Leah Shaver, one of the trucking industry's leading experts on compensation for professional drivers and owner-operators, will be our guest during this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast. Earlier this year, Leah started a new chapter in her tenure as an executive leader by becoming president and CEO of the National Transportation Institute, the company where Leah had served as the chief operating officer for many years. Through NTI, Leah leads a company that is well respected for its ability to analyze market trends in the trucking industry with a focus on providing accurate and authoritative mission-critical benchmarks to truckload carriers. During a career in trucking that spans nearly 20 years, Leah has become a leading advocate for promoting opportunities for women in all roles across the trucking industry. Leah serves on the executive committee on the board of directors for the Women in Trucking Association. As you'll hear during the podcast, Leah is continually interacting with professional drivers. In addition to establishing a strong presence on social media, Leah is part of the Sirius XM satellite radio team, serving as a national host on Road Dog Trucking Radio Channel 146. Leah has worked with fellow Road Dog Trucking radio host KC Phillips to develop the very popular Payday segment that can be heard on Road Dog Live. For our Insight 2020 podcast interview with Leah Shaver, Podwheels Network executive producer Greg Thompson talked with Leah to get her perspective on the impact of COVID-19 on the trucking market. Greg and Leah also discussed the prospects for the future within the trucking market as we move forward. In addition, Leah talks about her work with ES and being a part of the ES community. As you'll hear, Leah notes that even in these challenging economic times, ES offers proven programs and strong support for professional drivers and aspiring entrepreneurs who are thinking about starting or growing their own small business in trucking. Greg interviewed Leah in mid-June through a Zoom audio connection. Now let's join part one of the Insight 2020 podcast conversation with Leah Shaver.
Hello, everybody. Greg Thompson from the Podwheels Network, back with you on the Insight 2020 podcast series, which is being presented by ES. We'd like to take this opportunity to once again thank Stoops Freightliner for serving as the title sponsor for the Insight 2020 online series. As you guys heard in the opening, this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast series will feature our interview with Leah Shaver, who recently became the president and CEO of the National Transportation Institute after serving for many years as the chief operating officer. Leah, welcome to the Insight 2020 podcast series, and congratulations on becoming the CEO and president of NTI.
Thanks for having me. It was an exciting start to the year, that's for sure.
Leah, a lot of our listeners might be familiar with NTI and what NTI does, but many of our new listeners and folks joining us might not know. So can you walk through what NTI does and the relationship that you guys have built with ES?
Yes, I've managed the National Transportation Institute for the last 5 years since joining them in 2015. It was always our plan for me to succeed the owner, the founder, in leading the future growth of the company. We primarily serve trucking companies and organizations that have private fleets all over the country and even some that have a bit of efforts in Canada, both large and small, were the industry experts in professional driver wages and programs. So any company that employs professional drivers or works with companies that do, like customers, shippers, equity analysts that study performance in trucking, any of those folks could potentially be our customer at the National Transportation Institute. We aim to deliver opportunities for fleets to grow, to attract additional workers, and then expand in their marketplace with that appropriately compensated, engaged, and retained workforce. Now, ES is a service company. They're also a small business generator. Jason Williams, the president, and the rest of the executive team aim to work with the best of the best in the industry in order to ensure that drivers are getting support from ES and also the right revenue and freight ratio to make it profitable. They know what it takes to be a profitable business. Jason asked me to work behind the scenes for a couple of reasons. One is that they vet carriers with similar methodology to our top pay carrier certification, but their program is related to owner operator specifically, where my program reviews employee programs, but again, similar methodology. The homework that ES does and the amount of time that it takes to vet a motor carrier partner to be approved with their program is extremely extensive. And that, again, overlaps a bit with how my company works with motor carriers. And then two, my passion and experience is attracting, recruiting, and retaining top talent, which I did for many years on behalf of a for-hire motor carrier. And so we have some overlapping areas of my interests and experience with their interest and need at ES.
Well, Leah, you are somebody who's always on the move, doing many different things. As you mentioned, leading NTI, a lot of folks listening here might know you from listening to SiriusXM, where you're a host on Road Dog Trucking Live. We're going to talk a little bit later about your involvement being on the board of Women in Trucking. But another place that folks may have heard you previously is on some podcasts from ES. In fact, last December, folks might recall that we had you on to talk about looking back at 2019 and looking ahead at 2020. And for the first couple of months of 2020, everything looked to be on track. And then a global pandemic changed the world. So it was a starting point for our conversation. From the sectors of the market that NTI studies, we'd like for you to walk us through the impacts that COVID-19 has had on trucking. And more precisely, can you talk to us about what it was previously expected to look like prior to COVID-19 and the impacts that the pandemic have had on those expectations?
Sure. In my opinion, and I think this is probably shared by many stakeholders in trucking, one of the most important impacts that COVID has made is on the image of trucking, the image of the job that our professional drivers are doing. Understanding that the job is more than just being away from home to complete it, but that our professional drivers are delivering necessities, that shelves don't indeed fill themselves. The supply chain is actually extremely complicated and also vital to our continued comforts, our health and well-being, our way of life at the home. I think being stuck at home for most of America brings a lot of that to light. And our professional drivers have been recognized as their vital role within the country and within each of our households. We just didn't maybe appreciate that quite as much. Now, when we look at our conversation 6 months ago, what a change. I mentioned then that the excitement we experienced in a banner year of 2018 almost gave some whiplash in 2019. But 2019 was still a profitable, steady year for most of us in the industry. So much so that we were actually quite optimistic that 2020 would bring gains for the industry, that 2020 would bring even more pressure on the driver market, specifically a qualified driver shortage and an issue of attracting younger talent that would bring down the average age. The average age of professional driver today is 54 years old. Anytime that we are talking about a qualified driver shortage, the biggest issue is that age and looming retirement. If there's more pressure on the driver market, then there's also more pressure on shippers to increase rates, which makes for more profitable conditions. Instead, though, the pandemic has shuttered businesses, in some cases permanently. in many cases, a forced temporary change. But again, that forced temporary change has shuttered some permanently. It's forced the supply chain to look internally and consider changes. Think about the difficulty in importing goods from overseas and looking at manufacturing and increasing more domestically grown, produced, and sold products here. It's reduced productivity. It's even increased rates for some if they were hauling necessary consumer goods, and then decreased rates for many others. Most importantly, it's brought a lot of doubt and even more uncertainty about what the rest of the year is going to bring.
Let's drill down on that a little bit. You mentioned some of the changes in the market. If you were hauling necessary goods, rates went up. And with some places like retailers being shuttered for months, things didn't move. So let's talk a little bit about the state of capacity. Is it shrinking? What's happening?
Not yet. We continue to have a surplus capacity in the market. Early in 2020, literally days before the virus was known to be in China, at that point, we had unemployment near full employment levels. It was forcing many employers into marginal hiring and viewed across the economy as troubling with a shortage of workers. GDP had declined. There was a slump in exports, and inventory build was making a negative contribution to growth. Capacity had actually exceeded demand in many, but not all markets. Today, we still have a surplus capacity in the market. It's a condition to note, though, that we monitor regularly. It does change often. So if you look as recently as Q4 of 2018, we had a severe deficit related to capacity that was essentially right-sized early 19, and we were fairly steady and paired up with a bit of excess capacity in 19, and that rolled over into 2020. Now, of course, we've had elimination of jobs across the country. We have an extremely high unemployment rate where we were nearly fully employed when this began.
When you look at it, the world has really changed from January now to mid-June. And when you look at the drop in freight volumes after the cycle of panic buying that happened, because if you were a carrier that was hauling into grocery stores or a retailer like a Target, a Walmart, someone like that, you had a good run for a while. But now we're in what I would say is an uncertain time because, as you mentioned, high unemployment. We are a consumer economy. So what is the impact of all of that as we move forward?
It's big. There's speculation coming from every direction and going in every direction related to what the future is going to look like and what conditions look like today. A consumer economy is driven by the consumer spending as a portion of gross domestic product. So I'll say GDP moving forward. GDP being private investment, government spending, imports against exports. All of those conditions are essentially shut down. And when you add to it that at its worst point, nearly a quarter of our population was unemployed, along with what I would argue is even our greatest weakness, which is that every state is operating under different conditions today. Every state of the U.S. has different rules, different reopening plans, different phases. How many phases are there exactly? And in what phase are we in? It seems to be going on for so very long. So fleets and how they're responding, some fleets have leased different equipment and shifted to hauling other commodities. Some have accepted reduced rates and reduced demand. Some have had to reduce their assets in response and tighten their spending, their expenses, their personnel costs, their initiatives, had to completely scrap all plans for 2020. Some fleets were swamped during panic buying. And now that states are opening up, are still busy. And in fact, they may even be overcommitted. So we've seen responses all over the board, Greg.
So when I hear you say that, we are still in a very uncertain time. We're kind of trying to feel our way. We've got industries and businesses beginning the process of reopening. And when you look at all of that and what you mentioned about the different ways that states are looking at this, there are COVID hotspots in different places and there's reopening issues. When we talk about the process of reopening, what are the hopes or expectations of a new normal for the trucking industry?
I think hopes are high and the new normal is low. Didn't April feel like it was 6 months long?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that it feels like we've been in this odd state for longer than we have. And it's really important to note that nothing about this time is normal. I'm not going to bring up the word myself or introduce the word unprecedented because I think it's the number one most overused term during 2020. And I've scrapped it from my list. I'm tired of hearing unprecedented, but it might even be replaced now by the new normal. That new normal is going to keep changing. Every day, there's some new piece of information that might make us optimistic, and there's some information that might make us feel concerned about the near future. For me personally, knowing that trucking forecasts the economy, knowing that inventory in stores does not just miraculously show up, that it takes many steps, many elements of the supply chain to replenish. When I go into stores today, which are just reopening for me in Minnesota, I see an inventory that still continues to be incomplete. That makes me hopeful that we're going to continue to improve and see conditions improving in trucking. I also believe that many stores will try to diminish what they have in warehousing and in storage before they work hard to replenish or bring in new items for the shelves. I think we're also seeing a lot of stores step up and say that they're making donations. I think when we look at the cycle of consumer spending in the U.S., we know that they're not going to buy summer items throughout the winter in Minnesota. Those items will need to be rid of. My greatest hope that we have is that we would continue to improve. And frankly, we can only go up from April and even May. Consistency, I think, is the number one hope that people have of conditions improving.
One of the keys here is that trucking is an essential industry. And you noted the ripple effects across the supply chain, whether it's warehousing and how things are stocked. Trucking is a can-do industry. Trucking's also a very adaptable industry. There's been a lot of adaptations that have happened over the last few months, and that leads me to ask you about where things stand overall in mid-June in terms of looking forward and our optimism, and how do you see the prospects for professional drivers, particularly for owner-operators, independent contractors, and small fleets going forward?
You know me as an optimist. And as I mentioned, we can only go up from here. Now, what that really looks like might be different than it has in the past. That optimism, the faith that we need today, the consistency, it may not even mean more productivity. It might just mean an improvement in current conditions, or what was the new normal yesterday might mean a new normal tomorrow. I know many owner operators and small fleets that are thriving, and I know many more that have the opportunity to grow and are still facing challenges in how to get there, how to continue to grow. I think that we are still in a position to shine as small businesses.
One of the things that I'm hearing from you through what we've been discussing here is that it's going to be really important to be patient. As you mentioned, we all want things to change. We all want things to get back to where they were. We know it's going to be a long process potentially to get there. There's a lot of optimism that it could be quicker, but can you talk about the importance and value of patience for professional drivers and everyone in trucking at this point?
I was going to say, not just professional drivers, even folks like me. Imagine signing on the dotted line of your small business on Friday and on Monday hearing that there's this mysterious virus that is going to be showing up on our shores here any day now. That was my experience. And I have to imagine that there are many other small businesses and small business owners listening that experience something similar. In trucking, we have the ability to pivot. We have the ability to be flexible. I mentioned that there are some companies that are hauling what they consider to be essential. Fuel would be considered essential and is something that we need. And in difficult times, you might see lines to get fuel before any other type of tragedy that we've encountered. In this case, we didn't need fuel because we were shuttered at home. Think of some companies that haul fuel that had to park those trailers, or let's say tankers that were hauling milk to schools that were shut down. And so they didn't need milk at schools or fuel to fuel buses to take children to schools. And so those folks had to pivot and lease trailers and go into the market and haul essential goods instead. If we are not at a point where we're able to pivot and completely change our business model to have some activity during those times, then at the very least, what we do need is that patience, that persistence, the commitment to our best practices, to manage our expenses, to be safe, to nurture our customer relationships, to answer the call when called upon. And I think the number one item that we can recognize within the ES community and that ES did recognize during this pandemic was that professional drivers answered the call.
Leah, as we noted at the top of the podcast, in addition to leading NTI, you are also a host on SiriusXM's Road Dog Trucking Live on Channel 146. And through this work, you've had the unique opportunity to interact with professional drivers all over the country. If you would, can you please share with us what you've been hearing lately from drivers? What's the overall mood? And most importantly, what does the driving community need at this time in the COVID era and going forward?
Great question. Maybe it's the position that I'm in of entertaining them, of cheering them on, of keeping them company while they're working. But that's exactly what they've asked us for, actually. They fear that the support and encouragement that they've received in response to the pandemic will quickly be forgotten or gone once conditions improve. I did ask specifically during the pandemic, maybe more early on, probably late March, what was one thing that we could do to support them or help improve conditions? And they actually overwhelmingly said to just keep bringing the sunshine. And that's related to my CB handle, if I had one, would be the Sunshine Girl. As you know, I'm quite optimistic. I try to look for the positive, look for opportunities. That's my favorite word. And I bring that to them and to Road Dog Trucking Radio. Not one had any concrete or tangible item that they asked for. I'll be honest, I expected to hear meals, to hear supplies like PPE, to hear parking or other accommodations, but they overwhelmingly responded seeking encouragement. You ask, where is that at right now? Much to their expectations, many of them have a lot of good reason for that fear, considering they went from being saviors bringing food and supplies to stores to now being at risk in times of looting and protests and riots. I mentioned before, you know, I live in Minnesota. Unfortunately, we've seen specific examples of the risks of professional drivers right here in my own state. On air, we've continued to encourage safe, sound decisions that protect their well-being while being prepared to call for emergency services in times of doubt or danger. As an industry, we need to keep cheering them on. We need to encourage consistent, safe performance. And we need to safeguard business practices that allow all of us to focus on delivering freight and tuning out the rest of the noise that's around us.
That's Leah Shaver, the president and CEO of the National Transportation Institute. You're listening to the Pod Wheels Network and the second edition of the Insight 2020 podcast presented by Expediter Services. We'll return to the conclusion of our interview with Leah in a moment. Right now, we'd like to talk to you about Expediter Services, a leader in providing capacity solutions and ownership opportunities within the trucking industry. We'll also spend a moment highlighting Stoops Freightliner, the title sponsor of the Insight 2020 program. For those of you that may not be familiar with the history of Expediter Services, ES was launched in 2006, and the company entered the transportation market with an initial focus on meeting the needs and creating opportunities within the expedited sector of the trucking industry. The working model that ES developed and then deployed within the expedited market sought to remove the barriers that exist within the industry for professional drivers to become truck owners and operate their own small businesses. The ES model has also been designed to help owner-operators and fleet owners upgrade and/or grow. Through ES, qualified participants in the company programs have access to competitive market rate financing with a credit evaluation process that puts an emphasis on attitude, aptitude, work ethic, and work history. From its earliest days, ES concentrated on creating a path to ownership that would place participants on the road to success. Along with industry-leading discounts on fuel, maintenance, and other services valued by professional drivers, independent contractors, and fleet owners, ES can offer program participants the kind of back-office support and business advisory services that are invaluable when working to meet the challenge of operating a small business. Today, ES is a leading provider of capacity to trucking's expedited market. Carriers value the non-asset capacity of the dedicated, hard-working, small business owners who are part of the ES community. With a decade worth of proven results in the expedited market, ES began the company's outreach into the general trucking market in 2016, and ES continues to grow within general trucking. The offerings from ES are a perfect fit for entrepreneurs, men and women of all ages who have a desire to travel while running their own business. One of the founding principles of ES is to be of service by providing opportunities to people seeking a better life for themselves and their families. While ES has delivered some of the most innovative and accessible truck ownership programs to the industry, the lasting strength of ES is found within the community of support the company and the participants have built since 2006. Being a part of the ES community means that you'll never stand alone. And with the challenges that exist for small businesses within today's trucking industry, the commitment of the ES community to stand with each other has proven to be a key ingredient in the formula for success in trucking. We're almost set to return to our interview on this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast. Here's a little more about the scope of services and support that Expediter Services brings to the trucking industry.
Expediter Services is the place you ought to be. The more you learn, the more you earn. We treat you like family. Well, you can start off small and grow real big, or stay where you are or drive in your rig. Expediter Services is the place you ought to be. We've got the programs to save you cash. We've got support to get you there real fast. Expediter Services is the place you ought to be. Expediter Services is the place you ought to be.
To learn more about the ownership opportunities, specific programs, and the comprehensive support available through ES, please visit essuccessintrucking.com. That website again is essuccessintrucking.com. Before we rejoin our Insight 2020 podcast interview with Leah Shaver, we wanted to take a moment to talk to you about Stoops Freightliner, the title sponsor of the Insight 2020 podcast, the Insight 2020 online program, and the Success in Trucking Expo, which will take place in the spring of 2021. Stoops Freightliner is a division of Truck Country, and for those who don't know, the combination of Stoops Freightliner and Quality Trailer stands today as the largest Freightliner dealer group in the U.S., serving customers at 23 locations in Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Stoops offers new and used, medium and heavy-duty trucks. The dealership also offers Wabash and many other trailer options. Stoops and Truck Country feature expert service and extensive parts inventory, financing, and truck leasing options. To learn more about Stoops Freightliner, please visit the following website, truckcountry.com. That's truckcountry.com. Now let's return to the second edition of the Insight 2020 podcast here on the Podwheels Network. The Insight 2020 podcast series is presented by Expediter Services. Here's Podwheels Network executive producer Greg Thompson and our Zoom audio conversation with Leah Shaver, the president and CEO of the National Transportation Institute.
Hello again, everybody. Greg Thompson back with you on the Insight 2020 podcast. Thanks for making us part of your day. And we're back with Leah Shaver, president and CEO of the National Transportation Institute. And Leah, as we move into the second part of our podcast conversation on this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast series, I wanted to talk to you about folks that have a dream, folks that are professional drivers, that are thinking about becoming owners, folks that may be looking at getting into the industry and thinking about, well, I would like to get into the industry, but I want to be an owner. So let's say that I am a professional driver with enough experience under my belt, and then I feel that calling to start my own business. I want to become an owner-operator, but as we talked about in the first part of the podcast, when you look at where we are in the economy, on the surface, there appears to be a great number of headwinds that I would encounter. So I'd like to ask you and get your perspective on what about becoming an owner-operator and starting my own small business in this environment? And when you think about it, the biggest question is, can it be done successfully?
Absolutely, it can, and it is done successfully. I mentioned earlier that I know many small business owners that are thriving and, in fact, prepared to grow or desire to grow. I also think it's important that we acknowledge that becoming an owner-operator is not for everyone. Just because you want to be an owner-operator doesn't mean that you should or could be. Folks that became owner-operators in 2018 in response to the boom and in response to the need for drivers and our capacity shortage really suffered in 2019 and certainly would not survive early 2020. Years like 2019, which might feel normal to some, require the most savvy of business owners to tuck in, to focus on revenue, to monitor expenses, to nurture relationships with external customers, and even internal customers like our own people, our own employees. We have to focus on our own commitment to principles like fuel economy, like safety, and anything else that becomes a line item expense for a business. Relationships with customers, safety and performance above expectations, being best in class is what it takes to make it through difficult times. I don't think I would change any of those items as far as recommendations go in 2020 when there's a headwind. I think that they are all necessary qualities ongoing as an owner-operator in trucking. Because remember, conditions change regularly. We are a consumer economy. Spending goes up and down. We have particularly seasonal needs that we have greater spending on. We have periods of time where we can produce or build particular items domestically that we can't in other times. Consistency with all of those practices that I mentioned, and then the ability to ebb and flow to make swift changes when necessary, like 2020, are necessary for your ongoing success. Now, career path is vital, and it's something that's missing from many professional driver careers. And so in a traditional workplace, progression from one stage of work to another, ultimately peaking in our career is expected. Becoming an owner-operator has satisfied that need for drivers historically.
So Leah, when we look at the career progression for professional drivers who want to become owner-operators and start their own businesses, and we look at the landscape of the industry today, can you talk about what ES can do to make a difference in that career progression?
ES offers programs where a driver can start, for example, as a Class B CDL holder and gain experience as a business owner, and then progress into being Class A CDL holder and making more money and having greater opportunities. With a company like ES, an owner's extra safety net is available for their success.
What about contracts for owner-operators? What should they be looking for?
Owner-operators need to seek contracts that have high rate, that have technology and support, that have network advantages and fuel discounts with little to no charge to them, a generous fuel surcharge. They have to know that the fleet is right-sized, utilization of their business being key. They sign on to haul freight. They need good paying freight. That's their business. That's their revenue.
And Leo, when we look at the overall picture of making this career progression, as we talked about, of professional drivers becoming owner-operators, what are some of the other considerations that go into starting a trucking business as an owner-operator?
As I said, being a business owner isn't for everyone. You have to work on it. It's a longer day. It's a 7-day work week. It's holidays. It's nights. It's emails and expectations that there's a response and an answer or a yes, a can do. Family can become part of the business. The calls come at all times, as I mentioned. It's not just during the daytime. there's so much that goes into that decision.
Well, Leah, given all the considerations that you've shared with us here, let's talk about the role that ES can play for people who are looking to build or grow a trucking business.
ES doesn't just sell a truck or finance a truck, they help create small businesses. It's the same theory of the founders of the United States. They help them at the motor carrier of the driver's choice. Drivers like freedom and flexibility, and that's why they choose this career. But ES doesn't just stop at financing that truck. Their community provides support and leverage. They provide carrier advocacy, so a business owner can focus on generating revenue, not just on day-to-day issues. They also leverage their experience and their contacts to negotiate and make available a variety of other resources and services to their business community. And that's why the motto at ES is that you never stand alone. So with those types of support and services, absolutely someone can have great success.
Well, as we look at the landscape of trucking, it is changing. You are part of that change. As a member of the board of directors of Women in Trucking, we're seeing more women getting involved in becoming professional drivers and becoming owner-operators and owning their own fleets. So I want to ask you the same question, looking at it from the lens of on the board of directors with Women in Trucking and all of the things that you're doing as an advocate in the industry for opportunities for women. How challenging is it right now for women to become owner-operators or own their own trucking companies?
I don't know if it's more challenging for women than it would be for men. Certainly the greatest challenge facing every business in America today is people, whether it's attracting, finding, and retaining top talent. And I think that's especially true in the trucking industry. We struggle with the fact that conditions change regularly, but as it stands, the average age and demographic of our drivers does not change fast enough to help deter a condition that we've been struggling, which is a qualified driver shortage. And so we've had, up until very recently, an all-time historically low unemployment in the U.S. and far more jobs than workers to fill them. Today, that ratio has certainly flipped. And we saw that happen a little over 10 years ago in 08, 09, because of the market at that time and so many layoffs. Part of the driver shortage was deferred for a short bit as people were out of work. I think we're going to see that happen again now with having so many people now unemployed, but I think it will be short-lived. And when the market comes back, which inevitably it will, the difference with the driver shortage conditions today versus 12 years ago is that the age of those workers is so much higher. And so there's so many opportunities for women.
Leah, if you would, can you tell us a little bit more about the current landscape for drivers in the industry and how ES and the Women in Trucking Association are working together to create business opportunities for women?
We have fewer than 10% of drivers today that are women, but 45% of the workforce in America. So Women in Trucking and ES together has the 150 Business Challenge, and that fills the need of encouraging roles for women in trucking while keeping with the mission of WIT, which is to minimize obstacles and celebrate accomplishments of women in the industry. So drivers, recruit your wives, your sisters, your cousins, your mothers, your daughters, your friends. There's a lot of opportunity for women. Now is the time for them and for you. Women join the industry at the suggestion of someone that they know. The companies that we track at NTI that have the highest percentage of women offer opportunities for women to grow, to lead, to team, and to prosper. 38% of the workers served at ES are women, compared to fewer than 10% in the industry as a whole. And that number right there tells the ES story.
It's one of those things, too, that through the 150 Business Challenge, ES has made it more accessible for women to own their own businesses. That is a huge plus as we move forward in the changing face and the changing demographics of this industry.
Women like to collaborate. I mentioned they like to mentor and be mentored. In a supportive community like ES, where you can really focus on profitable decisions and not on the rest of the noise around you, that's the type of environment that women are known to thrive. And so it makes sense that we've been so successful growing the population of women and retaining them as part of our community in the long term.
Leah, we've had a chance to talk a lot about ES over the last few minutes. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us regarding ES?
Sure. I spent many years working to market, to attract, and most importantly, to retain professional truck drivers. And since I also know the message and the mission of women in trucking, I bridged the gap between those two programs and organizations. It's crucial for every organization to not just project desired outcomes in their marketing campaign, but to demonstrate examples of those outcomes within the culture. ES doesn't stop at financing the truck, their community provides support and leverage. They provide carrier advocacy so business owners can focus on generating revenue and not on day-to-day issues, or as I call it, noise. They leverage their experience and their contacts to negotiate and make available a variety of other resources and services within their business community. Their motto, again, at ES is that you never stand alone. I mentioned earlier how a small business owner has to be careful to be very consistent in daily practices for a positive outcome, along with the ability to pivot quickly when the unexpected occurs. ES has done just that. We've canceled a very well-planned expo, unlike any other in the industry, to pivot and provide digital content in multiple ways that professional drivers can consume it and still stay safe while social distancing, right? As we're still dealing with an active pandemic. In addition, ES is keeping support and services alive and in front of their community of owner-operators and fleet owners and sending it out to them, delivering on those outcomes rather than waiting for them to come and ask for them. And by the way, this is after deferring principal loan payments for 3 months at the beginning of the pandemic, before anyone had to ask, before folks were even struggling in the case that they might struggle, just to pave the way for success in the near future. They're not just saying that you never stand alone. They provide it every day. I'm proud to not only support those plans, but to be a part of them.
You're exactly right about ES and the commitment they've made to this industry to make it better. And you've always been out there trying to work and make the industry a better place. Recently, you had the unique opportunity to make a cross-country trip, and I want to close our podcast talking about this because you spent time during stops on this trip visiting truck stops and taking time to visit with professional drivers who, as you mentioned earlier, are working during the COVID-19 era and they're providing essential services. So can you talk to us about that trip?
I think that living through this pandemic for all of us, whether we're a small business or a large business, has been polarizing because we've either been at home on a stay-at-home order or we've been working alone due to the need to stay distanced from others and keep ourselves safe from the virus. I think I'm not unlike any other small business owner in uncertain times. I'm well connected, but I'm still extremely unsure. I'm feeling all the feels as a human being. I'm a bit fearful, but yet optimistic about the future while still being unsteady and being thrown off my routine. For those that know me really well know that I am extremely empathic. I have really struggled while cheering on our nation's professional drivers, worrying about their well-being, the conditions that they face, the lack of PPE that we've all experienced at home, being even worse and more difficult to attain while being out on the road. The idea of the Sunshine Tour came to us while we were planning a necessary trip. We'd been in quarantine for 6 weeks. All the while I'd been doing extra work with SiriusXM as a company. They were committed to keeping everyone at home during the stay-at-home orders, extra company, and providing entertainment and positive entertainment at that. And so Road Dog Trucking radio staff, all staff, really was all hands on deck, including myself, to keep them company. Now, hearing firsthand how committed they were to working, to staying away from home, to keep their families safe, and to get essential goods back on the shelves, my husband had the idea that we should fuel exclusively at truck stops so that we could express appreciation to professional drivers as we were trying to ascertain just what to do. That evolved to giving a letter and a gift. That evolved later as I described our plan just in passing on a weekly work call with Jeff Tacker at ES. He immediately wanted ES to be able to participate and volunteered support and what they had in assets of PPE and money in a generous gift. For my small business, what that meant was that instead of the bit of reach that I had planned to help support and cheer on a small group of drivers as I encountered them on the road, literally doubled with the contributions from ES and then grew exponentially further when they shipped me overnight a case of PPE to hand out as well.
So you have a plan, you have supplies, and you even have a name in the Sunshine Tour. Now, here's the question I'd like to ask you. As someone who has spent nearly 20 years in the trucking industry, what did this opportunity mean to you? And can you tell us just a little bit more about the experience?
As far as like what it meant to me, one of the things that really stood out was that people were so taken aback when I approached them. I was really excited. First of all, I hadn't left the house in 6 weeks, other than my daily bike rides, which was how I dealt with my anxiety over the early period of COVID. And again, I really struggled just with the fear of the unknown. I'm a very routine person. I travel every week, typically presenting results at motor carriers and in front of shippers so that they understand what's happening in the market. I attend conferences. With 2020 essentially being canceled, I really struggled with that change in routine, along with just, again, the fear of the unknown, and then also my fear of what our professional drivers were encountering. So I was really excited to be out of the house and on the road and excited to give out these gifts to drivers. But I found that they were expecting the negative as I approached, because that's been the norm for professional drivers. It's a side note to mention to you, I read an article just last night that about this whole scam that occurred at a truck stop where someone was inevitably robbed. And I shared it on my SiriusXM Facebook page and said, no wonder people were taken aback when I approached them at the truck stops. That's the reality.
That's right.
You know, here's a real life example of what people encounter, even in what I would consider to be a safer place for them to park at a truck stop with a group of their peers. It really allowed me to experience how the public has viewed them and the experiences that they've encountered, again, at places that should be safe, like truck stops. Once they did realize that my intentions were good and they heard me express my gratitude, everyone, for the most part, was extremely flattered. Beyond that, giving back is on its own very rewarding. Drivers feel heard when we appreciate them. And I mentioned earlier, when I asked them early in the pandemic, how could I help? The only thing that they wanted was to be encouraged, to feel that continued positive influence from me. And the drivers that we spent time with on the Sunshine Tour were so grateful, and sharing that experience with them made me feel grateful. It made me feel grateful that ES would want to contribute, that exponentially it meant that I could impact more people. So I can't say enough about having the support of ES and the ES community myself as a small business owner, as I visited with professional drivers out on the road. I've spent my entire career serving professional drivers in some capacity. For me, working at SiriusXM has been extremely special because drivers hear me on the road as they listen on the radio, and they can hear that I'm a strong supporter of trucking and of what they do and their professionalism. It's not only now my privilege to be a listener to them, but to actually do that as part of my job. I try my best to be knowledgeable, to entertain them, to be engaging. I know it helps their time go by faster, and it helps them forget about some of the troubling times that we're in. Being on the Sunshine Tour, I hope that professional drivers saw just how much I support what they do, that they felt supported, and that others really see an example of how they can further that and spread joy, offer kindness to strangers out on the road, to say thank you. The best ways drivers see a thank you is by simply waving at them as they're doing their work. It was all very rewarding and certainly very gratifying.
And it had to be be an experience that fueled your optimism about the industry, right?
Altogether, one of the greatest privileges that I've had is every week sharing positive content on Tuesdays on my Facebook page with professional drivers. Being able to share thank you messages, whether it be ones that I've seen or ones that I've created myself, those have been the most gratifying, and not only to deliver, but also to be accepted by drivers that are within my listening network and that follow me. And to be able to do that in person is something even greater. Certainly, I hope that others see that and use it as an example. And I can tell you that I gave a thank you note to drivers and mentioned to them, because some are very proud and they don't want a gift, even if it comes from the heart or is meant to provide them with essentials, whether it be PPE or food or other items that they really need. Some are very proud and they just don't want that, and they want to be able to pay it forward. And some have demonstrated that and shared with me how they did that. I think the optimistic part of me says that hopefully, if companies don't have in their routine ways to just provide necessities to drivers as they do their job, that they've come up with new ways to maybe make that a fixed part of their routine. The other optimistic part of me is that if we haven't given anything tangible during this period, even if it's nothing more than our gratitude, appreciation, and certainly our admiration for the job that professional drivers do, that's something that could come out of this. There are many wins, even in the difficulty of COVID-19, and certainly expressing gratitude and also seeing others pay it forward has been the biggest part for me.
That's Leah Shaver, the president and CEO of the National Transportation Institute, with her closing comments on this second edition of the Insight 2020 podcast series. We'd like to thank Leah for her time and perspective. If you would like to learn more about the National Transportation Institute and the work that NTI does within the trucking industry, please visit the company's website, driverwages.com. That website again is driverwages.com. You can also follow Leah on social media. You can find Leah on Facebook at Leah Shaver Sirius XM. That's Leah Shaver Sirius XM. ES would like to once again thank Stoops Freightliner for serving as our title sponsor for the Insight 2020 podcast series. To learn more about Stoops Freightliner, please visit the following website, truckcountry.com. That's truckcountry.com. Before we go, Expediter Services would like to remind you that the company will be presenting the Insight 2020 webinar series in the coming weeks. The Insight 2020 webinar series, like our podcast, will be focused on the needs of contract drivers, owner-operators, and fleet owners. For the latest details on all the offerings available through Insight 2020, please visit essuccessintrucking.com. That website again, essuccessintrucking.com. Finally, as we close out this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast, Expediter Services wishes you safe travels on our nation's roads and highways. And as our country continues to face the COVID-19 national emergency, we would remind you that in addition to staying safe, that you take the necessary steps to also stay healthy as you do the critical work of keeping the American supply chain moving.